Now, back to Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
6:34 on Hudson Valley Focus on The Beacon. Well, weather-wise, it will be a bright, sunny day here in the Hudson Valley, and hopefully that, you know, bright sunshine will help folks overcome their grief, whether from remembering what happened 24 years ago today or what happened yesterday with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. It's just our task, and I mean you and me, is to call attention and expose this deliberate initiative to keep us divided. And it is a deliberate initiative. Long before Donald Trump came on the scene, this is, I was talking about this long before. And, you know, this playbook has been run over and over and over again. Keep us divided and fighting with each other. And that's when bad things happen. Mr. Benfrey, you ready to come up to the microphone?
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad you're here this morning. We talked yesterday on the phone, and just, of course, Charlie Kirk was one of the segments here on The Beacon.
Yeah, he did a couple hours for us every afternoon. A tremendous person. You know, he may have been a little extreme in his views in some ways, but I think that I agreed with about 90% of what he had to say. And you could say that, I could say that about a lot of people, Tom. And it's one of the things that you and I have talked about on air and off air, that the tolerance for other people's opinions in our country has really hit an all-time low.
Yes.
And I was talking with my wife this morning about it. You know, she's struggling with this because, you know, there's real evil in the world, and you know, she's a school principal and she deals with children, and how to make this message, you know, make a message make sense for them. And it's difficult. But at the bottom line is, none of us agree with each other 100%. And we have to understand that we can still respect each other and appreciate each other and love each other and not agree completely. And we're not there as a society. And this, by the way, isn't the first time it's happened. You know, they killed Bobby Kennedy. They killed Martin Luther King. They killed Abraham Lincoln. We've been, as humans, we've been killing each other, people that we don't agree with, for thousands of years.
Yeah.
But how do we make it stop? You know, it's really not great. It's sad.
Robbie and I were just talking yesterday and or the day before. I mean, you mentioned the, you know, events that have happened in my lifetime with, you know, the, first of all, the assassination of JFK, November 22nd, 1963. I was in Louisiana the day that Martin Luther King was assassinated. And what was it, less than 2 months later that Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. I mean, this is where, but this intentional narrative to keep us divided as a society. I've been speaking out, you know, it's October 1st going to mark 13 years since you asked me to do this 5-day week show. And I believe that topic was one of the things I have spoken about consistently since. And this is long before Donald Trump was on the scene.
Yep.
Long before. And I recognized this, I don't know how far back, the political strategy, keep us divided.
Well, and not only keeping us divided, because, you know, we've been divided for a long time. The thing that I think fuels a lot of the real problems is the vocabulary that people are using. We are using very dramatic words and inflammatory words for very common situations.
Uh-huh.
And to refer to people that we don't agree with as fascists or Nazis or whatever. I mean, everybody calls everybody horrible names. And then that takes somebody that's somewhat, you know, unstable and makes them think, I got to do something about this. I've got to take this person out. They're ruining our nation. No, they're not. Neither side, by the way, is ruining our nation. Right. We agree on 80% of the stuff. It's that 20% of the stuff that's the difference, and we shouldn't be shooting each other, and we shouldn't be killing each other over 20%.
But that language that you referred to is exactly one of the tools that's being deliberately used to keep us divided.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness and candor, Trump is the one who brought it to the next level. And Trump is the one that's going to have to start walking this stuff back. And it's great to say in a speech that it's horrible and we got to cut out the rhetoric. But then you have to cut out the rhetoric. And both sides, leadership on both sides, are responsible for this whirling out of control. And both, you can listen to what Chuck Schumer says or what AOC says or what Donald Trump says or what Mike Johnson's pretty good, but what Lindsey Graham says, and they are all spewing these terms that are causing people to be violently motivated on both sides. And so there's crazies on both sides, and there's people on both sides that are willing to kill people on the other side, and that's not good. It's not good for anybody, and they need to learn to back this stuff off. The words, somebody said it yesterday in probably a bad context, the words have consequences.
Yes, they do.
And when you're dealing with some people that are just – and Andrew O'Grady, I'm sure, will speak of this later. Kirk Camperati will speak of this later, that when you're talking about people who are not clearly thinking and who are – being pushed into desperate corners, desperate things are going to happen. And so I think that our leadership has got to find a way to back things down. If you don't agree with Donald Trump and you don't agree with the Republican Party and you don't agree with the things that they're trying to do, it doesn't make them a fascist. It doesn't make them a Nazi. The ICE officers are not the Gestapo. It's not the same. And they're using these terms that are causing people to feel like they need to go to war. And somebody felt like, whatever the reason is, I don't know if it's connected to the transgender question that was asked first, but it's somewhat ironic that the person that was asking questions was talking about transgender shooters, and then suddenly Charlie Kirk had shot. You have to wonder how desperate have people become based on what Charlie was saying.
Yeah.
And it's not a justification for it. I think people need to understand. They need to choose their words more carefully.
Well, I can go as listening to what you were saying, Chuck Benfer. I mean, I go back to when Obama was president, and the horrible situation in Ferguson, Missouri, and the hands up, don't shoot.
Yeah.
That he, as president, I'm going to use the word, he lied to the American public about what took place.
Right.
That in further inflamed a situation. He too had a responsibility to speak honestly to the public about what had taken place there.
Right.
So there's multiple parts. You know, the other names that you named, and I probably am guilty of it too at times. I try to walk it back some.
Yeah.
We talked the other day about September being Self-Awareness Month. Well, how about people go look in the mirror?
Yeah.
How about people look in the mirror this month and say, am I working to unify, to know what our nation is about? The fact that the First Amendment is freedom of speech and freedom of religion and was silenced by an assassin's bullet yesterday, that's pretty powerful.
At its core, the reason why it was silenced was in part the same reason why Jesus was crucified. In part is the same reason why Christians were thrown to the lions, because bad people want to silence other people's opinions. And that's not – it's easy to say the tenet of our nation's founding is these life liberty things, and that we are endowed by our maker, right? But if you don't agree with somebody, then all of a sudden your rights go out the window. And if that person happens to be, behind the high-powered rifle 200 yards away from you, you could be in a lot of trouble, as Charlie Kirk was yesterday.
Yeah.
He has every right to say what he said, just like people who disagree with him have every right to say what they say. But we should have common respect for other human beings to understand One of the beautiful things about our nation is that we have the right to disagree.
You just said something, Chuck, that reminded me of the signs that people have been carrying. There are no illegal human. No illegal human beings, I think, is the sign.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perversion, though, of the use of language. That's correct that there are no illegal humans, but some humans commit illegal acts.
Right. I was with Kirk Imperati the other day, and I won't put words in his mouth. And you know, I watched him masterfully answer a question from someone who's on the opposite side of his thoughts when it comes to things. And the person was asking specifically about ICE's role with the Dutchess County Sheriff's Department.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Kirk was very proud of the fact that he has a desk for ICE in the Dutchess County Sheriff's Office,
right,
and Homeland Security and the FBI,
right,
you know, as a member of law enforcement. But what he went on to point out was 90% of the people who are here illegally are really not bad people.
Right.
They just happen to be here illegally. 10% of them are really bad people, and those 10% need to get wrapped up. And he's right about that. I don't know why anybody would argue that point. The poor woman that was murdered on the bus the other day.
Right.
You know, that was a
refugee from Ukraine,
mm-hmm,
came here for a better life.
Right.
But so back to the point, mm-hmm, that Kirk made with the 90%, 10%,
mm-hmm,
what lots of folks, I would hope they would understand, is that 10% often are embedded in the community with the other 90%, and very often victimizing the other 90% who just want to go about and lead a quiet, peaceful life.
Yeah, but in many ways, what the conservatives, what we as conservatives sometimes do is we force them to have to do that. We force that 90% to have to hide in the shadows. We force that 90% to have to affiliate with other people because they're running scared from us as much as anybody else. And so, The only thing that I want everybody to understand is that there's no simple answers to anything that we're doing, and certainly shooting somebody is not the simple answer.
No.
Right? We have to, and we should start here, Tom. We have to be tolerant and understanding and appreciative. I have many friends that are different religions than me, and I love these people dearly. I don't think any one of them is evil. I don't think any one of them is crazy. I have many friends that are different races. I don't think I'd love them all. I have friends that are homosexuals. I have friends that are living great lives in same-sex marriages. I love the people that are there.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, our leaders are painting all of them,
yeah,
as one common swoop of evilness, and it's not good.
We need to go to a break here in 1 second, but I want to come back to something that you said. And I've tried to make this point for the last 6, 7, 8 years, is the fact that those individuals who are here illegally but otherwise operating within the law and are often victimized by the other 10%, those who are here illegally and threaten to say, well, you know, if you try to report me, I'm going to turn you in. We have federal statutes that protect those here illegally but who are victims of crime. We have federal statutes that protect those here illegally but are victims of crime. And I've tried to repeat that over and over and over again so that those folks do not hide in the shadows and continue to be victims.
Yeah, that's utopia, Tom.
I know.
It's great, but that's not reality.
I know. I get it.
It's just not reality.
Let's go to the reality of a Zoll's Sports Report, right, and then back with Mr. Chuck Benford here on The Beacon.
It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
:51 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Chuck Benford in studio with me this morning. So 7:30, Andrew O'Grady should be joining us. And you said Sheriff Kirk Imperati is going to call in. Do we know what time that's going to be?
Somewhere between 7 and 7:15.
Okay.
Suggested, yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. And I don't know. There's lots of times I've attempted to have reasonable conversations with individuals. And these are people I went to school with, known for, 50, 60 years. And just ask them. Go back and check the record. Your perception of what you think we've lived through. Go back and check the record.
Right.
And they refuse to do it.
You know, you'll probably appreciate this. There's a Beatles song that is called We Can Work It Out. Right. And if you listen to that Beatles song, what Paul McCartney says in the lyrics is, we can work this out as long as you see it my way. You know, why don't you see it my way? We can work this out. You know, this may come to an end unless you see it my way. So can we really work it out? Sometimes we have to agree to disagree. Sometimes we have to understand that I still love this person, but we're going to have a difference of opinion. Sometimes they're seeing things differently than we are. We're not looking at it through the lenses that they're wearing.
Right.
We're looking at it through the lenses of our own eyes, our own vision. You know things that I don't know. I know things that you don't know. We both know things that Robbie doesn't know, and we know that Robbie knows things that we don't know. So there's a lot of considerations that go into things. And I have talked to some people that I know that I care for deeply that thought Charlie Kirk was one of the most evil people on the face of the earth. And man, I don't have that opinion of Charlie Kirk.
Right.
Right,
and yet I can see why people would say that.
Yeah. However, I love the people very much that disagreed
right.
with what Charlie Kirk was saying, and I think that this tolerance and understanding of other people's opinions is something that we all have to work on, and understand that people are corrupt. And I say this all the time. I was raised Catholic. You know, I go to the same church that I was baptized in, that I received my first Holy Communion in, right? The Catholic Church, to me, is such a beautiful religion, and it was absolutely corrupted by human beings. The men that were running the church, the men that were hiding the evils that some of these priests were doing, they ruined that church. But that faith is amazing. And you can say that about a lot. You could say that about a lot of things. The communism on paper is one of the greatest ways to live in a society, right? Imagine this utopian place where everybody's created equal.
Sure.
However, that's not how it works.
And there's a thing called human nature.
Well, that's exactly my point. AOC and Bernie Sanders fly around the country, and we're starting to see the reports from their campaign funds, the amount of money they spent on hotels, the amount of money they spent. They traveled and lived very lavishly on the road, while telling people that people who live lavishly are evil, right?
That same with this guy Mandami in New York City. I mean, he's from a millionaire family backed by billionaires, and
right. And the reason why the arguments against Mandami don't resonate is because people are focusing on the wrong things, and they're looking at him as a person. They're looking at him as a communist. They're not actually looking at, and it becomes a debate of, is he really a communist? Is he really a socialist? Is he really this evil? And people will automatically defend him because Donald Trump says that he's bad, right? So immediately people will rush to that side because somebody else says that it's not. Form your own opinions. How many times in your life have you met somebody and somebody said, oh, that Chuck, man, he's not a good dude. He's a bad guy. He's this, he's that. And we have a great relationship, right? I've met lots of people who people have told me, don't get caught up with that person. That person's bad. That person.
Oh, yeah.
I've had great relationships with people that I was warned about. So I don't think that all of that stuff is true. And I think if people took the time to actually understand the issues, if they took the time to actually research things, then maybe you'd have a different opinion. But right now, people are somewhat lazy. We talk about the uninformed electorate. We talk about the ignorance that's in some of the voting, where people are just voting straight line. That's dangerous.
And Robbie, what I say the other day about, can we stop talking about personalities and say, how do we fix the issues?
Yeah. And I've been struggling to formulate any sort of words about what happened yesterday, especially the time of matter. Like, I tried sending out an email yesterday saying Charlie assassination attempt, and then your email came in, and then the whole world came crashing down in that living room. And, You know, like you've mentioned, you can disagree with the man, but all that you can do on your side is just silence your phone and just put it away. Like, this kind of violence is unnecessary, unwarranted, and it's evil on all fronts, just because of the fact that people just don't have the decency to just plain and simple shut up and just pray for his family, you know? Like, I cannot stomach the pictures of his family. I could not, because I see two little children that are going to grow up without, you know, their dad. And that is the worst part of it to me. And I saw the videos, I saw everything. It's just, you know, like, some people, yeah, they have another political figure that's no longer in the conversation. And those people are thinking very sickly. Other people lost an idol, a friend, a husband, a father, you name it. And so people should just stop putting on their political lenses right now and understand the fact that someone got brutally murdered in broad daylight, and people should just recognize the fact that we should be mourning that.
You reminded me of something, and this is, I say this in the positive sense about recognizing what happened 24 years ago today. How many times over the last few years have I seen the stories of the child of the firefighter or the policeman lost 24 years ago, who now is following in mom or dad's footsteps and becoming the policeman or the fireman?
It's amazingly powerful, and it's in such great points that you're making, Robbie. But just remember that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated because the guy thought that it would turn around the end of the Civil War. Martin Luther King was assassinated because they thought that it would stop the Civil Rights Movement. This isn't going to stop the movement that Charlie Kirk had started. The same as knocking down the World Trade Center's buildings were not going to change, you know, the things that they were hoping to change. The violence just doesn't work. It just doesn't happen, and that's not the way to silence. Have a healthy debate, which ironically is what Charlie Kirk was trying to do.
Yes.
Yeah. He was bringing in a conversation, and he was introducing facts to things. And
well, the title of it, Prove Me Wrong.
Right. So, and you know, this is where I'm going to somewhat disagree with him. I don't think that people who believe that they're transgender are evil people. I don't. And he was painting some people to be evil. It's not a rationale for why somebody should be killed. However,
absolutely not.
However, you know, the passionate speak causes people to take passionate action, and I do believe that that's where our political leaders have to be more careful.
And that's, I want to come back to that point, okay, because I have very strong opinions about that. Back with Chuck Benfer here on Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. Dutchess County Sheriff Kirk Imbrato will be joining us this morning, as well as Andrew O'Grady from MHA Dutchess.
Lundberg.
Live, local, and unafraid, this is Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
7:06 on Hudson Valley Focus on the Beacon, live and local, and heard Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. And visit hvbeacon.com. You can get all of your listening options, get the app, you know, program your Alexa to do it. We've got some of our prior shows, really good ones, that are podcasts that you can stream on demand. And Chuck Benfer, there are... There's actually a lot of good things happening, necessary things happening for the future of this country. But boy, it's just been completely overshadowed for quite a while. And I mean, going back even over the last 10 years, things that we needed to solidify for, you know, so that people Robbie's age and younger can have a future. This idea of constantly running up this debt that they're going to be burdened with. And that's been overshadowed and hidden from the public.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the problems is, and, you know, Robbie might be able to chime in on this. We used to have trusted news sources. We used to have people and networks that we could believe in, that we believed what Walter Cronkite was saying. We believed what Peter Jennings was saying. We believed what Tom Brokaw was saying. And today, I don't think we get the straight and skinny from anybody. And I think that's one of the, it's got to be one of the most dangerous things in our country, and probably one of the most frustrating things for people of my children's age, Robbie's age, because what do you believe, right? This bit about Fauci sending an email out saying, you know, delete this after you read it, you know, could that possibly happen in our country, in our government? Could that level of corruption and conspiracy actually be taking place? And unfortunately, it seems like time after time, the answer is yes.
Yes.
And then not only is the media covering it up for whatever reason, but politicians are covering it up. And I wish that at some point the people in the government, and this happens to be why I'm in favor of term limits for everybody or term limits for nobody, right? Why can't we get the truth?
Right.
Why is it that things have to be spun? Why is it that we can tolerate as a society Chuck Schumer and Ted Cruz saying one thing 20 years ago and then saying 180 degrees the opposite today because of who's in charge?
Right.
Right? To me, it's just it's just reprehensible that the media is so entwined with not telling the truth.
You know, I had a story last week about Citizens United and campaign finance that I don't think I ever spoke about on air, that, you know, that Supreme Court, you know, corporations have freedom of speech. But the article, I'm going to have to go back and see if I can find this and talk about it in the next few days, because it's a really important article. The ability of corporations or the big media outlets to control the messaging gives them undue influence over and above what our Constitution guarantees us, freedom of speech. Our Constitution does not guarantee the corporation freedom of speech. Interesting. Robbie, you wanted to weigh in here.
Well, to answer, Chuck, your question, I feel like there's two aspects to it. There's just the fact that there's so many news sources out there that, you know, it's like it just pollutes the pool and you don't really understand, like, who is saying the truth. And it's, I don't know, you can't really find the legitimate source to it. And it's also a matter of perspective. Like, if you just flat out see something that you don't believe in or you don't want to believe in, you're going to say, oh, that's not true, even though it's real and it's happening. And so I think that's a huge part of it, too, especially in the matter of Charlie Kirk as well, because, and I'll be honest, like, I don't agree with much of what he says, but we come from the same way of thinking. It's like, let's challenge your way of thinking. You know, I'm going to come here, I'm going to challenge your thinking, not because I disagree with you, just because I want you to really plant your foot into saying what you want to believe in, or at least be like, oh man, that's a great, like, perspective. Thank you for saying that. Now I better understand the problem at hand here. And so that's kind of gave me a little bit of, I guess, understanding that, like, hey, maybe this guy was a bit polarizing to other people, but he came from the same ground as I did. And so it's a matter of perspective and just too many people that are just saying anything.
Yeah. Well, our best leaders inspire thought.
Yeah.
Right. And so Charlie Kirk inspired thought, and he got you to think about the topics of faith. You know, he was, you know, a very conservative libertarian. He and I didn't necessarily agree with everything that he said, but I agreed with a lot of it, you know, and I appreciated everything that he had to say. Very similarly to that, I don't necessarily agree with a lot of things that Barack Obama said, but I agreed with a bunch of it, right?
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan used to say that if we agree on 80% of the things, can't we just say that we agree?
Right.
And that's, you know, that's the truth. We can say that, but having a real good understanding of each other as human beings and having a great appreciation for the fact that we're going to think differently. You know, go into Lowe's and look at the paint chips. See how many different colors they have of paint, right?
Sure, yeah.
Think about that.
Not only do they have different colors of paint, is that we've had this discussion in our household. That's blue. No, that's green.
Yeah.
We're looking at the same damn thing, and we don't even see the same color.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, all those colors get sold.
Yeah.
Right? I think of all the rooms that are in my house, you know, that we have maybe one common color that's in, like, two of the rooms, but everything else is a different color. And there's there's lots and lots of other colors, because there's lots and lots of people in the world that have lots and lots of different thoughts and ideas, and we can respect and love each other.
Yeah, that's something that Project Liberal put out yesterday that I thought really, I guess, put out a very interesting... I'm just off source. I'm just going to say it. Yeah. Quote, "We agree with Charlie Kirk on basically nothing except that he deserves the right, as every human does, to speak freely without the threat of violence." And that just goes to show that, like, let's literally put the words down, literally the guns down, and just talk as humans and understand, hey, we might disagree, but, you know, that's all right.
The cost of the freedom of speech is that the other people have the right to talk.
Yeah.
They have the right to believe what they want to believe, and we have the right to believe what I want to believe, and then we have to find a way to get along. And I don't think it's as difficult as we make it out to be. No. I really don't.
Well, yes and no, because I've found that there are a percentage of people who just are not even willing to listen. And I mean actually listen.
So, but what you're saying is they're not willing to listen to you to change their opinion, right? And maybe we're not willing to listen to them to change our opinions, right? We look at things completely different because of our lives and our upbringing and the things that we believe in. But I will tell you that no matter what you do, I have very little in common with a person who was born and raised on Liberty Street in Newburgh. And I don't know that I would ever understand their perspective on certain things in life or their need for certain things that society provides to them. I have nothing in common except that we're both human beings.
Right.
And I need to understand how they are where they are, why they are where they are, and at least have an appreciation and an understanding and not say to them, you're wrong, so therefore you're evil. Right? How can we work this out? And we're just not doing that as a society. And I will tell you that 20 years ago, I thought I was right about everything. Today, I don't think I'm right about everything anymore. The more I learn, the more I understand that I don't know as much as I think I know.
So the idea of active listening. And got a phone call. Good morning, Tom here.
Tom, it's Kirk. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Kirk in Paradis, Sheriff, Dutchess County. Chuck Benfer is in studio with us here also.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
Doing wonderfully.
Great. Tom. How are you, my friend?
Doing okay. I opened the show this morning, Kirk, saying it's a doubly dark day in America, being the anniversary of 9/11, first of all, 24th anniversary, and then, of course, what happened with yesterday with that, you know, fatal shooting. And it's just that's just a doubly dark day. I don't know how else to say it than that. Sheriff?
No, I agree 100%. It is, and it's you know, you have to look back on these things, and we have to learn from our history. And, you know, today is the anniversary of September 11th, 2001. It's unbelievable that it's 24 years ago that this tragedy happened on our home soil, and something that we were not used to, not prepared for. But out of tragedy comes some great things and some phenomenal people that step forward and continue the legacy of lives lost and heroes of that day and the following days after that, and the recovery efforts and the rescue efforts that were done by our firefighters and our police officers, EMS, clergy members. So it's it just shows the humanity of it all. And then a tragedy like yesterday with Charlie Kirk, it shows how all of us can come together. And we realize that we've reached a point where things are, in my opinion, out of control.
Yes.
And people aren't effectively coping with how they feel about certain situations, how they feel about people's certain beliefs and people's certain values that people have. And, you know, we have this wonderful thing called the Constitution of the United States of America. And, you know, our forefathers, when they wrote that document, were so forward-thinking, and we're coming up on our 250th anniversary of our independence. And, you know, we have to look back at that document. We have to look back at how it was constructed. And we have to look back and understand how it is to protect our democracy and our way of life. And if you don't agree with somebody and you don't agree with their point of view, violence is not the answer. Our system is set up where we have elections and people can speak through their vote and put people in office and put people in positions where they feel that's the best route for our country. And people spoke last November, and that's if you like it or you don't like it, you need to cope with it effectively. And the world we live in today, we have so many different programs, so many different outlets that we can reach out to talk to people about our issues that we're having and the crisis that we're in. But what happened to the days of we could have a debate and we could agree to disagree and walk away and agree to disagree and go on another day and not resort to violence? And if you just look over the last couple of years and the amount of political assassination attempts or successful attempts, it's very disheartening. And people really need to take a good look in the mirror, reflect, and understand that violent acts like what happened to Charlie Kirk yesterday and the assassination of Charlie Kirk is not the answer to our arguments, our disbeliefs, our differences of opinion.
Okay. Chuck?
Sheriff, I have two questions for you. First, we have a lot of universities and college campuses in your area. How concerned are you going to be about how to protect those campuses moving forward? And then the second part is President Trump is going to be at Yankee Stadium tonight. And I remember I happened to be at the game that President Bush was at after September 11th, which we were all surprised about. Here, everybody right. in the world knows that President Trump is going to be at Yankee Stadium tonight. How do you secure Yankee Stadium against something like this happening down there?
Well, I was at that game as well. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to be at that game as well, and it was the most incredible experience. But remember the amount of security that was there, Chuck, and yeah. remember the painstaking security measures that were taken before you could enter the stadium.
Yeah.
Well, now fast forward 24 years and multiply that by 100.
Right.
And on the heels of what occurred yesterday, the great thing about what the tragedy of September 11th, 2001, one of the most powerful things and great things that came out of that was the collaboration and the cooperation between all law enforcement and sharing information, field intelligence-based policing. Everybody had information from whether it was a local level, NYPD level, to a federal level, and that information wasn't shared. And we realized that we needed to do a better job, so we put together Joint Terrorism Task Force. We put together a Hudson Valley Safe Streets Gang Task Force, and it's where we meet with all law enforcement agencies in Dutchess County, local, state, federal, and what we do is we share information. We put out police bulletins, and we share that information with each other, and then we realize that, hey, maybe the state police are looking into this individual for drug trafficking, or maybe these people are the federal government, the FBI, or Department of Homeland Security has a concern about somebody with a terroristic threat, and they're looking at this person, and we're looking at him involved with a burglary. So we're cross-referencing, and we're sharing that information. And by sharing that information, we're able to better protect the residents of Dutchess County, which are nearly 300,000 people in Dutchess County.
Yes.
To your point with our schools, whether they're local high schools, middle schools, elementary schools, and our universities and our colleges in the area. We work well with their security teams. Let me use Dutchess Community College as an example. Dutchess Community College now has approached the sheriff's office, and they want like a school resource officer program on their Dutchess Community College campuses. Mm. So we're working with them to get that presence there as well, because they want the safety and security of their children. When you send your child off to college, we've all been there. Tom, Chuck, we've all been there sending our kids off to school, and you want them to be safe. And that, something that happened like yesterday was the last thing we thought was ever going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever happened on a college campus. But in today's world, it's the collaboration and the cooperation between campus security, local law enforcement, state law enforcement, and federal law enforcement, that we share information, we all work well together in order to protect everybody.
Boy, Kirk, you just took me back 24 plus years when you talked about the Hudson Valley Gang Task Force. I was on the Workforce Investment Board at that point in time. We had had a presentation from that Hudson Valley Gang Task Force about all the different symbols and signs and tags and all. And I actually think that was the day before 9/11. Just unbelievable what you just reminded me of. So
I can't stress enough. There's so many avenues.
Kirk, hold on one second. Take a quick break.
Yeah, can you hold through a quick break, Kirk? Thanks.
Yes, okay, back with Dutch County Sheriff Kirk and Brady a minute on the Beacon.
He's the voice of the Valley. Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on
727 on the Beacon. Dutch County Sheriff Kirk Imperati on the phone with us, and Chuck Benfer in studio. Chuck?
Kirk, I'm sorry we cut you off. We cut you off abruptly. Apologize for that.
No worries.
So bring us back to how you're seeing things in the Dutchess County community and the cooperation, and then what do you have going on today for memorializing September 11th. I know that you guys always do such a great job with your ceremonies and recognition.
Right. So after all the ceremonies today, I'm heading to LaGrange at 8:30. Then I have Under Sheriff Jason Mark downtown at Market Street at 8:30 as well for a ceremony that Judge Tracy McKenzie does in front of the family court building. And then we're having a ceremony at our headquarters with the Federation of Police Chapter of Dutchess County. And then I have a couple other ones at Wappingers Falls this afternoon. And then in reference to what we're doing, we will meet as a chief's association. We're going to have a conference call with all the chiefs of police. And part of the Dutchess County Chiefs of Police Association, we have all our campus security directors from all our local colleges that are part of that association. So we've had them part of that association for a number of years. So it's a collaborative effort. So we have everybody on that Zoom meeting to discuss what we're going to do, any information, latest information that we have, any bulletins that are out there from different groups that are looking to demonstrate in reference to this. Right now, there's limited information out there about that, but as the day progresses, there'll probably be more information to develop, and then we will boost up our patrols and our presence on all the campuses around Dutchess County.
Good. Kirk, we're up against the hard 7:30 break. Appreciate you spending time with us, and you and I had spoken the other day about getting you back on here on the Beacon on a regular schedule, so we'll get that set up off air. And Andrew O'Grady, CEO of MHA Dutchess, is going to be joining me on Thursday mornings again now with our mental health segments. Sheriff, thank you on this day for spending time with us here on Hudson Valley Focus Live.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for having me. You have a great day, and let's never forget September 11th, 2001.
Exactly. Amen. Thanks, Kirk.
Back in a minute on The Beacon.
Conservative.
Wake up informed. It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
7:34 on Hudson Valley Focus on The Beacon. Mr. Chuck Benfer in studio, and Andrew O'Grady, CEO of MHA Dutchess, is also on the phone with us. Andrew, on this doubly sad day, thanks for spending time with us here.
No problem. Hi, Chuck. How are you?
Good morning, Andrew. How are you feeling?
I feel good. I feel good.
You sound great.
Well, I don't know about that, but thank you.
And Andrew, it's just obviously, you know, doubly sad because it's the 24th anniversary of 9/11, and then what happened yesterday, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and it just is I believe weighing very, very, very heavily on the population, and all of us are affected. I think I even hear it in your voice, Andrew.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking about that in a way into the office, and I was, you know, 9/11 happened, and, you know, we all came together as a country after that, and I don't know that that's going to happen after the event of yesterday, but I wish it would, but I've wished that for a long time, but, you know, we're going in the opposite direction, I think. I think we're more and more, I was listening to what Chuck was saying earlier, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, we need to be not just have conversations with the other side, but and I hate the fact that there's another side. I mean, people have varying points of view. That's what it used to be, a varied point of view. Now it's another side. That's it's really it's very disheartening and sad. And you know, a lot of things happened yesterday. I mean, a lot of bad things happened yesterday. It wasn't just that, and that was horrible. That was absolutely horrible. But you know, there's a lot of bad things happening in this country, and that was a political hit. The other things that happened were just horrible events that are happening in this country too often, school shootings and other. It's just we are at a point where people feel minimized, they feel marginalized, they feel fearful, and there's always a fringe of people, a very small, fringe of people that unfortunately you'll hear people say, you know, in this scenario from yesterday, you know, the Democrats assassinated. No, a tiny, tiny, tiny percent of both sides are brought to a place of violence because of what they hear, what they take in, what they believe to be, you know, the end of democracy. I'm sure that guy, I don't know anything about that guy yet that did that yesterday. I'm sure that in his mind, he truly believed that he was somehow saving the United States of America by doing that. I mean, it's a sickness, and it's but it's brought on by just constant barrage of media and social media. You know, letting and making people believe that it's the end of the world, the end of the country, that we're going down a path, and it's because of our political leaders that we're, you know, going to fail. And you know, I'm rambling on, but I don't even know, you know, what to say about any of this.
Let me jump in, Andrew, because I think before I turn the microphones back on, that Chuck and I were talking about, you look across the pond, look to Europe. I mean, I have an article up in front of me, France in Flames as the Block Everything protest movement. You know, Germany's having social unrest. And I just, listening to what you were saying and thinking about this, I just have to ask myself, you know, what's really going on? Who's I guess I'll use the word fan the flames of discontent, Chuck?
We live in a very angry world, and you know, I do point some blame at President Trump in his early campaigning. He changed the way people communicate. And, you know, a basic rule in marketing is that you communicate at the level of a fifth grader so that you don't speak over people's heads. But that doesn't mean that you have to behave at the level of a fifth grader. And I think that's a lot of what we devolved to. And then when you think about social media, there's a woman that, you know, did a dumb thing in Miami. She was a Phillies fan, and she took a ball back from a young kid. And on the internet, you would think that this woman was one of the most heinous people in the world. They're trying to find out who she is. They're trying to get her fired from her job. They're trying to ruin her life in any way possible. How could we have this much hatred for a person that we have no idea what's going on in her life? We have no idea why that ball was important to her. And we don't have any genuine consideration or empathy for the other side. And Andrew, you probably hear this a lot, but I hear it from people who are doing things to protect their mental health. Well, while what you're doing to protect your mental health is important to you, you're messing up mine, right? We're not really thinking about the ripple effects of our actions. And I agree with you. I think that that person yesterday who killed Charlie Kirk, in their minds, believed that they were doing the right thing. And that's horrible that they got that messaging and they think that there should be a parade. They don't think that there should be a whole bunch of law enforcement people chasing them down. They think that somebody should throw a parade so that Rosie O'Donnell could move back to the United States. And so I just think we're at a point in the country where we have to find a way not to just turn down the heat, shut the damn stove off, and stop fueling all of this hatred and all these differences. We have more in common with each other than we give each other credit for. And I think we have to start focusing on that. And when you look, Andrew, you know this, when you look at the rates of suicide, when you look at the rates of suicide at certain demographics, certain age groups, it's horribly out of control. And, you know, as a society, I think that we make people believe that we're trying harder to be more empathetic and more understanding and more helpful, but then I don't think we are. Because I don't think we're genuinely sitting down and listening to people. I don't think we're generally trying to understand where they're coming from. We're trying to say, if you would just listen to me, then your life would be better. Well, they think genuinely that if we listen to them, our lives would be better. And that's where we're missing it with each other from my perspective. And
I've always prided myself on being able to have a conversation. And unfortunately, it is not the norm anymore, where you could just have a conversation with somebody that has a different political view. Yeah. And I can acknowledge the differences. Not the differences, but I can acknowledge that there's positive ideas and thoughts from a different political perspective. And there is. And if you're going down and you're going into the voting booth for the last 20 years and you are not even considering clicking another side, I don't know. That's how are we ever? I mean, I've said this before, and this goes a little bit away from the horrible day of yesterday. But we are never gonna. The only way for us to get to a better place is to model from the top. And in this scenario, the top is not President Trump, but our Congress, our government, to model working together and getting things done for us. And right now, the only time things ever get done for us is if there's a majority and something gets pushed through to the chagrin of the other side. And then another political party gets in and undoes everything that the other political party pushed through. And we do not move forward one little bit. We, as a country, we do not move forward. Trains are being developed in other countries that are twice as fast and clean as ours, and our infrastructure's falling apart, and all because we are just focused on winning. Our side has to win. That's it. And if we don't win, then, you know, I don't know. So it's not good for any of us who are sitting here.
It's interesting for me to listen to both of you, and I firmly believe the roots of this go back almost a half a century. This did not start with Donald Trump.
This is a slow deterioration.
And when I have written and spoken many times about what's happened, and Chuck, it was you who, you know, years ago told me about that 1996 Telecommunications Act that allowed the near monopolization of media. And Andrew, there are so many people in this country today who have little to no understanding of what actually goes on. Now, over the last 20 years, it's been amplified through a negative megaphone of social media. I think, Robbie, we were talking the other day, what is it now? 50% of the population today claims they get their news through social media.
Probably. I think that number might be even higher just from my general observations.
Yeah.
I used to read the newspaper every day. I don't do that anymore. I mean, there's not the event. And if you do buy a newspaper, it's, you know, 7 pages long. So, you know, that's not really an option for people anymore. I mean, it is, but it isn't. So.
Andrew, we were talking off air, and I think before that, even the advent of the 24-hour news cycle has been dangerous. And it what it did was it made broadcast news on radio and television the National Enquirer.
And well, it's not news anymore. It's just like, how can I fill the time, and how do you do it unless it's an opinion?
That's exactly right. And then you have all of these opinion espousers that, you know, frankly, on the left side and the right side are if you listen to a newscast, count the number of times they say "I think." Well, yeah. There should be no think when you're reporting a news story to me, right? This is the news story. I don't really care what you think. Just tell me the story. And today, our thoughts are being guided by people who just have opinions just like us, right? I have opinions of the way things are working. I'm not clinically trained. You have much more knowledge and understanding of it, and here I am espousing on rates of suicide and protecting people's mental wellness, right? That's my opinion. And so most people, though, that are listening to shows like ours or listening to things on CNN or listening to things on Fox News, or frankly, the broadcast networks, are hearing opinions. And to your point earlier, Tom, when every time a network news broadcast starts off with Republican activist, right-wing activist, Charlie Kirk was assassinated, right? No, Charlie Kirk was assassinated, right? Why do you have to add these adjectives? It's just going to be inflammatory.
That's and intended to be so, unfortunately.
But in all fairness, the right side would do the same exact thing. Fox News would do the same thing.
I saw it on Fox News.
That's where the trouble is.
Yeah.
We're not allowing people to think on their own. And, you know, the momentum of Donald Trump on some things is also overwhelming in other ways. And I think that that's what challenges a lot of people.
7:46 on Hudson Valley Focus on the Beacon. Andrew, can you hold through a quick sports break?
Yeah, of course.
Andrew O'Grady on with us and Mr. Chuck Medford in studio. Back in a minute on the Beacon.
Now, back to Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
On the Beacon. Chuck Medford in studio. Andrew O'Grady on the phone. Chuck, where do you want to pick up the conversation?
Did you just call me Peter Leonard?
No, I didn't. But I said that years ago we worked on issues. You're talking about how we bring people together. When I created the Dutchess Alliance for Human Needs in the spring of 1993, we had a crisis in our hands with thousands of people having lost their jobs, and I insisted when I put that organization together, if somebody was going to participate, Andrew, they had to leave their personal agenda at the door. And there was quite a mix of people across the political spectrum. But when we went issue by issue by issue, we got a huge amount done, keeping people focused on, which is why the Hudson Valley Focus logo says strategic direction, measured results. And it was communication, cooperation, collaboration. It can be done until people want to pollute the waters.
Right. And the only thing I'm saying, and I hope our listeners understand this, is that we need to be better communicators on both sides, and we need to have a higher understanding of the importance of listening to people. A lot of times with my children, a lot of times, Tom, you've heard me say this to some of our employees: stop talking to yourself when I'm talking to you. We have to do the same thing, right? Sometimes we have to hear what other people are saying. We don't necessarily have to agree to it, but until we can find a way, we'll never find solutions together if we can't listen to each other. And yesterday and 24 years ago from today are prime examples of what happens when people get to a point in their lives where they think, nobody's listening, I need to take action on my own.
Andrew, how important are active listening skills, actually training people for active listening skills?
It's extremely important. You need to hear what the other person is saying, and you need to understand it.
And for me to repeat back, Andrew, did I hear correctly? Is this what you meant? People don't do that.
Reflecting back. No, they don't. I heard you say. And then they have a chance to say, no, that's not exactly what I said. It is important to do that. And if you don't, then you're really – and that's an interesting comment, Chuck, you said to your staff before. You know, that's great. That's what people do. They're listening to somebody. They hear a word they don't like, and all of a sudden they're in their mind are thinking about how can I reply to that or how can I retort that. And meanwhile, the other person is still carrying on their message, but you're not hearing a word they're saying.
That's true.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We say it again.
Stop talking to yourself while I'm talking to you.
Yep.
It's one of the greatest benefits, one of the greatest skills that I have is a listening skill in business, because I can sit with employees, I can sit with clients, I can talk with listeners, and I can understand where they're coming from. I don't necessarily agree with everything, but at least I'll understand where we don't have understanding. Mm-hmm. And then we try to work through it. Listening skills are the most important skills in human life. I often say to our employees and to people who are distracted that in radio we have these contests where you must be present to win. That's life, man. You must be present to win. And if you're in a conversation with somebody who's checking their phones and looking at their emails and all this other stuff, they're not present in the conversation.
Let me add something to what you just said, Chuck, your expression that you used, and Andrew, having the conversation with somebody on the radio, I'm listening to what you're saying, but in order to keep it moving, I've now got to think about where the conversation is going, coming up with something else. When I go back and listen to a podcast of the interview conversation I have with somebody, it is sometimes astounding to me what I missed.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
That's what happens in these conversations. I mean, we want to keep the conversation going. This is probably not a great example, because the reality is you have to keep it going. And I've been on podcasts, and I'm sure if I listen back, I know I've done it here where I've weaved in. Somehow your question is broad, and you kind of weave the conversation around to what you had in your mind before, as opposed to answering the question and having that straightforward conversation. But that's what we have. That's what we do, and that's what we do as humans. But you really need to step back and, you know, think about that. And I did. And I, as we're saying this, I had a really a good thought, and now it's gone. So
what I can tell you. From my career in business and all the negotiating I've done in my lifetime, I had to become a better listener in order to build common ground. And every negotiation is a negotiation. That, you know, I happen to believe there's no such thing as a win-win. When you're negotiating, they become acceptable lose-loses. But that means that you have to be willing to concede. That means that you have to be willing to give up some ground. That means you have to be willing to. The reason why you can't get peace in Ukraine and Russia is because Russia doesn't want to listen, right? The reason why we don't have peace because people would rather fight about it and prove that they're right or that the other side is wrong. In our lives, we don't have to be like that. We don't have to. I can find common ground with anybody.
But what's really scary to take that to a different level is that, you know, when you look at, I've said this, you know, in the Middle East, you know, a bomb happened. You know, Israel, the thing happens to Israel. They go and they bomb Hamas. So now every time a bomb drops, there's 100 people that may have wanted to go the peaceful route in their life. They're young. Right. But now they're radicalized because they just lost their whole family to Israel and they hate Israel. And on a smaller level, that happens in this country all the time. It begets violence. Violence begets violence. We have that in the city of Poughkeepsie. I mean, you know, there's a shooting. It's sure. A gang-related thing. Now, all of a sudden, what's going to happen now? We have retaliation because so-and-so's brother got shot. And it gets worse, and it spirals out of control until Kirk and his team have to somehow rein it in. And now we have this situation where, you know, there were people that were in the front row of that horrible shooting yesterday with Charlie Kirk who loved the guy, who he was their idol. Watched him get shot. What kind of mental health impact is that going to have on them? And what does that mean? Now, do they hate the left more than they may have before? And what does that mean? Are they going to be one of those people on the very fringe that do something, you know, next month or next year or 2 years from now? I don't know. There's no answer. You can't just say we need to simmer it down. Yes, we do, 100%. We need to just take a break. But I just saying that on the radio is not going to. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, leadership. It is. It is leadership. We all have to. And you know, when people denounce things when it happens to their side and are silent when it happens on the other side, that's another thing that causes social media to go crazy. And we just have to be, I don't know, we just have to be more caring and kind and understanding.
To your point, and I've tried to live by this, and that's that expression that hate is like drinking the poison and hoping it will kill your enemy. And that's there's truth in that. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, when I do get very upset when I see and hear folks with a political agenda, and I don't necessarily mean in the world of politics, but their own agenda, cultivating hate to further division. And I've studied this extensively, and it goes back for decades and decades and decades. So, Andrew, I'm glad, you know, it's a horrible day, but I'm, you know, it's fortunate that you were already scheduled to be on with us this morning. It's very, very important in how we really kind of end this conversation now, letting people know, Andrew, that there are mental health resources out there that people can reach out to, correct?
Yes, and if you know somebody that you're concerned about, there are avenues. Unfortunately, it's not publicized, but we have a threat assessment team in Dutchess County run through the Department of Mental Health and also through the Sheriff's Department, a threat assessment team where if people are concerned about somebody, maybe that they're going to do something, it can be reported to somebody, and people will follow through and have conversations with that person. Doesn't mean they're going to go get locked up.
Right.
It means there's going to be a kind of an eye on that person. So, you know, if there are people in your world that you're worried about, there are things you can do. You don't have to just sit back and wait for the worst possible scenario. This community has so many resources and we're ahead of the curve in so many ways,
right.
But unfortunately people don't know exactly how to access them, but we have to do better at that. But this is a sad day on a lot of fronts, and you know, I remember all those people that were at 9/11, and this should be a day where we all just, you know, take a second and just try to start fresh and start fresh with an open mind.
And Andrew, you have my pledge that let's get together and we'll get that message out there.
Good.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Quick break, Andrew O'Grady, and then back on Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. Listeners, I invite you to join the conversation, 845-831-1147. Back in a minute.
It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
8:06 on The Beacon. I want to thank, first of all, Dutchess County Sheriff Kirk Imperati for joining the conversation this morning. Andrew O'Grady, Mental Health America. And Chuck, it's been, thank you for coming in this morning. It's
sure.
Such an emotional day for everybody involved. It was, you know, Robbie and I had already talked yesterday about today being the anniversary of 9/11. Little did we know, and we were talking about the changing demographics of, you know, men and women's perceptions based on the political realities, and Charlie Kirk's name came up in that conversation with some of the references to him. And so it was, I don't know, just extremely shocking, doubly shocking for me, having just had that conversation, for that news to come out yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, it's just a very sad tragedy and completely unnecessary. And hopefully positive things can come out of it. You know, did positive things happen as a result of September 11th? To some people, you know, maybe. To other people, it could never be. My wife and I were at a wedding in Monroe, and we sat at a table with 8 firemen. And every one of those firemen died on September 11th. And every time I go into New York City, I go past their firehouse, and they still have a memorial there with their pictures. And the effect that September 11th had on our region was remarkable. I will never, ever, ever forget that day.
I was saying to Robbie yesterday about, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, to the F-16 fighter jets that were running air cover all over the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to hear them, you know, flying over, you know, the house at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and I forget how long that lasted, and where they had grounded all the flights, and the stories that came out with people trying to find their way back home, renting vehicles, whatever happened to be. And again, but the point I made, you know, an hour or so ago, that these 24 years later, and in the intervening years, the numbers children, other family members of those who lost their lives, who we've seen them put on the uniform. I just find that absolutely inspiring. And
yeah, you know, add a tragedy, and that, you know, that's the reality of life, that tragic things happen, and we as humans fight our way through. Unfortunately, our history is full of it. You know, you look at the assassination of Abraham Lincoln to turn around the result of the Civil War. You look at the assassinations of President Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King. You know, people have been doing this for a long time. It's not new. What's new, maybe, is the concept that maybe we should be learning from this as opposed to just letting it repeat.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the only message I have for everybody is.
And the one thing I want to say, though, is language is critical. Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning about the immigration issue being in the forefront since you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Outrageous that those who are supposed to, who swear the oath to uphold our laws and our Constitution, have failed to sit down and have the honest discussion in the last 30 or 40 years, and to then deliberately conflate the words illegal alien entry, which is defined in our law, versus, you know, undocumented. And it was even Chuck Schumer who said we can't use those expressions. He said that back in 2009.
Mm.
And then he constantly uses those expressions to be divisive.
Well, it's no secret that I'm a fan of term limits.
Right.
And one of my hopes is that Donald Trump pushes the point that he or anybody should be allowed to run for president for more than two terms. If for no other reason, it's going to spark the debate as to why can senators be senators for an unlimited amount of time?
Right.
Why can representatives be representatives for an unlimited amount of time? I think if you pay attention, the Senate and the House of Representatives, that collective Congress, is actually the body that runs the country, and they're the ones that aren't getting things done. It should be simple that we can fix the immigration problem. Why won't they?
Absolutely.
It should be simple that we could fix the health care. Why don't we? Well, because they don't want to find common ground. They don't want to find a solution. But maybe if you only had a few years to be here, you would be working for a different agenda. Maybe that's the solution.
We've had this discussion over the years, and you know, two terms in the Senate's 12 years, instead of Congress members running every 2 years. How about 4 3-year terms for 12 years? And maybe if you were in Congress for 6 years, that you could, you know, run for the Senate for two terms. I don't know, but you're absolutely correct to go this lifelong politicians who have this a way of going in and emerging a few years later as multimillionaires. There's something wrong with that picture.
Well, there's a lot wrong with it. But the bottom line is there's no incentive to fix things.
Right.
As long as they can continue to run on the same things. And the thing that bothers me the most, and it's just because we don't have an honest media, and I'm all about honesty, right? If I agree with you, I'm going to tell you. If I don't, I'm going to tell you. I don't care. This is just how it's going to be. How Chuck Schumer and all these Democrats that have been in the House and the Senate for so long could have been pro-immigration reform, strong borders, and building walls, why that was a good idea 30 years ago, and it's not a good idea today, is beyond me. Why tariffs against China was what Nancy Pelosi was on the floor showing charts of, how we needed to put tariffs against China because it is better for our country. Now today it's the most heinous economic act. Like, they can't be honest in what they're saying to us, and the news isn't being honest in how they're reporting it. And to me, that's what's got to change. You know, let's just be honest with each other. Let's just, you know, say it as it is, right? It's either right or it's wrong. There aren't many things in my life, Robbie. I'm an old man. I'm 60 years old. There's not many things in my life that I thought very strongly about at 20 that I don't feel very strongly about at 60. Like, these guys, they're changing their minds every 4 to 8 right. years. And they're it's 180 degrees from where it is, yeah. And no one is holding them account for
and
that.
And what did I say the other day? People with no moral compass.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I don't really got much else to say about that. Yeah.
Why are there no dinos? There are rhinos that they say Republicans in name only that vote their conscience. How come the Democrats all vote in a block? Where's the real control from? And then I'll end on this because I have to get into another meeting. But why is it that each party is going to be willing to spend over $1 billion to win the office of presidency? What really is at play here? Right? To $1 billion to win a job that's going to pay $400,000 a year? I don't know. We talk about college being lopsided.
Look at the money spent right here in the 17th, 18th, and 19th congressional yeah. districts yeah. for a two-year House seat.
What's at play there? It's more than immigration, I'll tell you that. Oh, there's something going on. We need to get a look at that.
We've set some records right here in this Hudson Valley congressional mm-hmm. districts over the years on money spent to get those seats. Yeah. Well, Chuck, thank you for being here. And we'll use our voice. We got some other things we want to talk about setting up with respect to getting some of the candidates in with this elections coming up in November, so we'll work on those things for sure.
Great. So thanks, guys.
Thanks. Let's get a quick break in, Robbie, with the sports report from the Zoles, and then back. And please, listeners, 845-831-1147, 831-1147. On this 11th day of September, I would love to have you weigh in between now and 9 o'clock this morning. Back in a minute on the Beacon.
Live, local, and unafraid, this is Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
8:20 on The Beacon on this Thursday morning. We've had a lot on the agenda this morning, and I've not had a chance to mention to you, but I will mention it. It's going to take with our friends at DS Home Services, things have to go on, and cooler weather's coming. Get those window AC units out. Let DS Home Services install a Whisper Quiet 3-season mini split. Now through September 30th, a 9,000 BTU mini split is only $4,899. Visit dshomeservices.com. Visit dshomeservices.com and learn more about that. So 845-831-1147 is the phone number. Please feel free to weigh in and share your thoughts. But on the bigger issue, this is whether we're talking about what happened in North Carolina, what's happening here in New York, where our elected officials responsible for our safety and well-being, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and deliberately leaving career criminals on the streets. Why? Why? And then they offer some, that shouldn't have happened. When do we... How have we created this culture of disrespect for self and for others, Robbie?
Well, I mean, you were mentioning off air the disturbing incident that happened in Queens the past day or so of the career criminal going in a elderly person's couple in their home and doing some godforsaken acts of just terror. And this guy is a career criminal. And it's confusing to me, just like, all right, how is a guy that's literally a career criminal just rinse and repeat, thrown in jail, thrown out to the world again, and there's nobody in the judicial system, you see his record, it's like, oh, this guy's been here before. Maybe he should stay a little longer this time around. Like, why are we not helping the community and making sure they're protected from these career criminals, and B, as literally criminally insane as they are, taking them off the street, giving them their own resources in a confined environment like a prison.
Right. So this guy was paroled after serving 17 of 20 years for armed robbery, sex crimes, and since he's been out, linked to at least two burglaries in the last 2 months, and now, you know, this horrible crime here in Queens. Now, this is there's something wrong with those folks who swore the oath to uphold our laws, and that is fueling anger on the parts of a lot of people, rightfully so. But how do we express that? We have elections coming up. We have elections coming up this November. We have elections coming up in November of 2026. And getting accurate information about what are the issues. When I look back, and I know you're going to hear me say this a lot, when I look back over the last 30 and 35 and 40 years, it's like we were talking about a minute ago, how in heaven's name are we still having the lack of resolution to the legal immigration versus illegal alien entry when this was supposed to be resolved in 1986 and we're heading to 2026. 40 years. Our United States Congress has failed over how many different administrations to address those issues. And they set it up for failure instead of going issue by issue by issue. This is a really clear-cut example of how the politicians play the public for fools.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of bouncing back and forth, yes, from Queens to North Carolina, but both instances are very important to talk about.
Yes.
A headline here from the New York Post here, psycho Ukrainian refugee stabbing suspect was, quote, too aggressive and, quote, shouldn't have been released, mom says. The mother of accused Charlotte train killer, DeCarlos Brown Jr., said she tried to get her schizophrenic son help, but was turned away in an exclusive interview. She also asserted that he should have never been walking free as his mental health was rapidly deteriorating. Quote, he should not have been released, end quote. The mom said of him being free on a, quote, written promise,
right,
to appear for a court date. My question then stems to, why are we having elementary school practices be implemented in the United States judicial that's insane.
Number one role of our government is to protect the citizens. Number one role, period, to enforce the laws and protect the citizens from threats. And here we have absolutely known threats, and the politicians, not only are they not doing it, they're deliberately not upholding the laws. And we know that many of these instances, there are a couple of organizations who have bankrolled these politicians to put these individuals back on street. So chaos and disrespect for law is being cultivated by members of the political class.
The mom had spoken to him on the phone about the murder after his arrest, and that Brown was convinced that someone was, quote, removing the chip from his brain, end quote, that had been controlling his actions and believed he'd be out soon.
Whew. Well, we've got a serious problem on our hands here, and a lot of it does relate back to our education system. We do have a unique form of government in the United States, and I have watched over much of my adult lifetime that system of government being deliberately, intentionally perverted. And at the same time, other generations not even being educated. That's true here in the state of New York. It was New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli who said to me on air years ago that our state constitution requires the teaching of, our form of government. And then in their audits of school districts, many of the districts are out of compliance with their constitutional duty to teach this subject matter. What does that tell you? tells you that we've got a problem on our hands. So whether we're talking about the New York State Assembly, New York State Senate, we're talking about the U.S. Congress, the House of Representatives, or the U.S. Senate, these individuals have failed us in terms of exercising their sworn duty of oversight. Many of the problems that we've had, especially at the federal level, with an administrative state that stays regardless of who's in president, but they're supposed to be operating under congressional oversight. And it's evidenced very clearly that they have been operating outside of their congressional mandates. And the fact that these budgets have grown bloated, and with lack of accountability as to, are they fulfilling their core message? Where are the resources going? And we don't know. We don't know. Why am I talking about this? Because these are all known factors that feed discontent and anger in a nation. While legitimate, the need for real health care, not chronic disease management, real health care goes begging, especially here in the state of New York. And yet what we perceive about this, who's responsible, that we have, you know, the guy that can go out and assassinate, literally assassinate the CEO of a health insurance company, thinking that he's the one responsible for this, therein is the problem. The lack of understanding of the origin and the failure to actually deal with the issue. And what's really distressing is the number of people who have held up this healthcare CEO's assassin as some kind of hero with his picture on T-shirts and all. You think we have a problem, America? I do. We have a problem. So we got to understand what that is so that we can effect some, cures and changes. It is the 24th anniversary of 9/11. Quick break, and then back in a minute on Hudson Valley Focus Live on The Beacon.